In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. And so the Gospel story is the story of his birth, of his conception and his birth, and his miraculous conception from a woman who was beyond the age of childbearing, and how the Archangel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias, and all the rest. It's a very interesting and wonderful story. But the important part of the Feast of St. John is what St. John taught, and the kind of person he was, the things he said. And this is what we should concentrate on. From Romans is the epistle reading, and it really contains the teaching of St. John. St. Paul doesn't say that it's the teaching of St. John, but it definitely is, because this is what his calling was. He came in order to announce the coming of Christ, and his announcing this coming was a moral pronouncement, a moral admonition. Make ready of the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Stop sinning. The way we receive Jesus Christ is by struggling to live a righteous life. And if we do that, God will fill us completely, well past the brim, and yet we will not overflow. We will ever expand, and God will always be in us, evermore. All we need do is struggle. And St. John's message is one of struggle. From his very birth, his life was a life of struggle. What is not said here, but said later, Zacharias protected John, and they tried to kill him when he was very young. That's why he was in the deserts until his appearance, because he was a hunted man. Zacharias was murdered, as Christ said, by the Jews, the ruling elite, and John was kept safe by his mother in the deserts until his appearing. And then when he appeared, what did he say? Well, here's basically what he said, in, shall we say, paraphrasement or interpretation. And that knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. St. John pronounced that salvation was appearing. In fact, the source of our salvation, the answer to all of our questions, was alive at that moment and waiting to appear just a little bit after St. John made his pronouncement. I've always marveled at this statement. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And after living as a Christian for many years, poorly, but a little bit better than I was in the past, I understand this statement, because Christian life is a progression. It's an ascension. We are to mount up like eagles. Perhaps we only feel like grackles, but we are to mount up like eagles. And we are to change. And so I hope you can look back on your life and see that there are some things that you do better, some things that you do not do that you used to do, some things that you do now that you didn't do very well before, perhaps not at all. Your salvation is closer to you than when you first believed. Of course, in the context of St. John, our salvation was very close, because the Lord was about to make his appearance. But everything the Lord says, everything the Lord does, means nothing to a man who does not act upon it. So our salvation should be closer to us today than it was yesterday, because we should have changed something in our lives. Something should have gotten better, infinitesimally, and in a way that we can't see, and we don't really need to see it, because we need to become proud about how special we are. But definitely, take comfort in these words. I've had a lot of bad days in my life, as I'm sure you have too. Days where you just weren't quite right. Things were not going right. I'm not talking about environmental things around you. I'm talking about the kind of person you were that day. And at the end of the day, you just think, I wasn't the right kind of person this day. I'm ashamed of the kind of the way I thought, or the things I said, or the things I didn't say, or didn't do, or did do. Well, that's all part of the process too. Because with repentance, God receives us immediately. So all of our experiences should contribute to our salvation being closer to us today than it was yesterday. That is, the day we first believed. And then, St. Paul goes on to say, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Of course, night is a powerful image. It was even more powerful to the ancients because at night, most activity would cease because it was difficult to lighten their homes. It was expensive and difficult. And vast areas of the places they lived would be completely dark and impenetrable and dangerous. Now, of course, we have artificial light, so we can have it be like the day. But nevertheless, night is an image of the darkness of the soul, sin, of groping around, not understanding, of falling into the pit because we do not see where we are going. And when he says the night is far spent, this means this time of our sinning, this time of not being enlightened, this time of, as the apostle puts it in another place, being exiles. And as Peter puts it in another place, formerly we were not a people, but now we are a people. This time of night is the time of stumbling in our life. The day is at hand. And of course, in the context of St. John's preaching, the day was the Orient from on high who was about to appear. And in the day, we live with life, as St. Paul says, honestly. Let us walk honestly as in the day. You've got to be honest if you're going to be a Christian. First with yourself, and then with others. You just have to. Because without honesty, you cannot know yourself. And God will not visit you if you live a life without honesty. We live like we're in the day, not like we're in the night. In the night, you can hide things. But in the day, everything's evidence. But also in the day is where the Lord is. He will reach and take us out of the night, but He won't go into the night with us. He won't go into our sins with us and allow us to sin. One of the great heresies of our age, sort of a new heresy, is a moral heresy. That people can do all manner of sin and God accepts it. Usually under the guise of the idea of love. And this is not true. The Lord will not allow us to sin. That is, enable us to sin. He will help us to not sin. And so the apostle tells some things that we should do when we're in the day. Cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, in chambering and in wantonness. Of course, chambering is kind of an archaic term, but it has to do with sexual depravity. So much sexual depravity in our age is okayed by the emasculated God that people want to believe in. But the only way to life is to make ready the way of the Lord and make its path straight. And that is St. John's primary teaching. So if you want to be more filled with Jesus Christ, struggle to live a righteous life. And as I've said many times before, I don't know, perhaps now 300 times, don't be concerned about your sins. Be concerned that you don't repent from your sins. Be afraid of not repenting. And don't be afraid that you don't have confidence in doing righteousness. God will provide the confidence. God will provide. If you struggle. But if you do not struggle, if you do not try to make your path straight, the the Lord will not help you. St. John's message is very clear. And it is a prelude to what our Lord spoke. And most of our Lord's teaching was morality and the right way to live. I'm convinced now that the great heresy of our age, sort of a codicil to the great heresy that I've spoken about, that life, salvation can be won without labor, is that we can redefine what is moral and what is not, and find a God that allows this immorality. It's not true. The reason why we are told to fulfill the commandments is because in doing them, in striving to do them, and God helping us to accomplish them, we are close to God, because that is the way God is. We want to not do anything that is unlike God. You know, a cow doesn't eat meat, and a lion does not eat grass. That is not their nature. It is not our nature to sin. It is our nature to become perfected. That's what we were born for. And so the reason why we make ready the way of the Lord and make its path straight, why we are to walk honestly as in the day and not be in rioting and wantonness and chambering and all the rest, and have jealousy and strife and envy. Paul also mentions strife and envy. The reason why is because these things keep us far from God. They are moral impediments to being in the presence of God. Not because God would punish us for such things, but because such things make us so weak and so ashamed that if we were in His presence, we would be terrified. There would be the gnashing of teeth. And there would be the worm that consumes evermore. This is why we have to live a moral life. Unfortunately, this message is not getting out. Too many people do not understand it and have made a caricature of it. St. John's story is compelling, yes. Being born miraculously, living in the desert, having a coat of camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey and being the sort of wild man of the desert. But his message is more compelling. If you want to find God, struggle to live in a moral way. That is the essence of his message. And if you do this, God will help you in all things, and you will be filled with him. This is St. John's message. And this is why this particular passage, which basically sort of paraphrases his message, is presented today. Because his message is, make ready the way of the Lord, make its path straight. May God help us every day now to fulfill this message. It's not a one-time thing. It is every day that we struggle to straighten our life. And with God helping us, we will straighten our life and we will have true peace. Because there cannot be peace without virtue. It is impossible. May God help us to fulfill the admonition of St. John, to make ready the Lord and make his paths straight.